Well, here we are for our roundtable, and you heard it in the teaser. We are going to be talking about favorite couples, both fictional and non-fictional. And so fortunately, we have got Luke, Ashley, and Chris here. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. Hello. Okay, and we also have, Ashley is super young. She's one of our interns here this summer. So I had to tell her before we started taping that one of the people she gave, I had to even Google, like it was one of her fictional people. And there were others that were submitted by you Boundless Insiders that I also had to Google because maybe I'm not up on all of these, I guess. But this was kind of fun. So let's just first talk through some of the ones that you guys listed and why, because we want this to just be a fun conversation, but maybe also glean some info as to why these couples strike you, the good and the bad, and kind of what that means as you look at your own relationships. So who wants to start?
I feel like one of the couples that has gotten the least amount of screen time, but I've appreciated the most, is the couple from Up, Pixar's movie Up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember their names. Like, yeah. They're silent for the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Names? I know
the guy does. Yeah. The old
Mr.
man.
Wilson?
Mr. Wilson.
Something. It might be.
Is it,
yeah,
Carl?
That sounds familiar.
Carl's the bird.
Oh.
Well, we've got the old man from Up and his wife and the beautiful story that is portrayed.
That's a good one.
Silent, but it's beautifully shown that they are working together for common goals. They go through common tragedy, and but they still love each other and care for each other and move on past that. I think it's a really beautiful picture of what a relationship could look like.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Well, kind of going around those lines of, you know, love that lasts that long, I listed Stan Lee and Joanna Lee, Stan Lee being the writer of a lot of Marvel comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I was a huge comic book guy.
So the real life Marvel comic guy, not a superhero.
The real life Marvel comic guy.
The actual creator of some. Yeah, there we go.
So anytime he brought her up in an interview or anything like that, usually it was she drove him to do the thing that he wasn't necessarily comfortable with doing, and it actually became the big Marvel universe that we have to this day.
Okay.
Like, he would question, well, should I take that risk?
Mm-hmm. Good.
And she kind of drove him to do that. And, you know, their love lasted 70 years. So, I mean,
that's amazing.
That's a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think for me, when I think about couples, Jim and Elizabeth Elliot come to mind, as well as Oswald and Biddy Chambers. So two couples who had a common goal to serve the kingdom together. And in both cases, the husband passed away first and the wife continued the ministry.
Oh.
And I think, you know, that is, I mean, what more could you ask? It's like when two people come together and together they're bigger for the kingdom than apart. Mm-hmm. That's like what is most iconic, I believe, in a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like Oswald and Biddy Chambers, like her name is Biddy because he called her Beloved Disciple. That was his little nickname for her. And so for short, he called her BD, which turned into Biddy, which is, you know, not the most casual of nicknames, Beloved Disciple. But I think that their love for the Lord just completely directed the way that they lived their lives. And it just showed.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I know even in looking at what some of our insiders responded, there were other couples like the Luthers who were mentioned and just being kind of really in an era where marriage was kind of up for grabs or up for debate. They kind of defined what that looked like, and to be in ministry together was really big. Martin Luther and his wife. And I think some people just like them because she brewed beer down in their basement, but whatever. But
that's good reason.
And even more commonly, John and Noelle Piper, you know, people mentioned them, some current pastors or theologians, and their spouses, you know, who've been supportive of each other through ministry. What would you say? I mean, let's talk about a couple more of the fictional ones. Like, what are some couples that you would expect a lot of people to mention, and for what reason?
Yeah. I think about from Parks and Rec, I know we were talking earlier, the main character, Leslie Knope, who's kind of the head of the Parks and Recreation Department. She's super independent. And then all of a sudden, this guy, Ben, comes along in like season three, and they're both super passionate about what they do. But when they get together, like neither of their passions dull, it just intensifies. And they're both into their own things and supporting each other. And they're just like really iconic. And I think their love story is one that shows just what it looks like to encourage each other without being competitive or, you know, downplaying the other person, but bringing out truly the best in each other. Yeah, and they're cool. Just both really funny. So,
yep.
Iconic wise, one of my favorite movies growing up, because of, I guess, the love that it showed in the film, was Big Fish by Tim Burton.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite films of all time. I think it really portrays the positives of marriage in a lot of really good ways, and kind of like the real love there that it shows throughout the film, and that he would do anything for her. And, you know, at some point they make you think like maybe he's being tempted somewhere else, and then you find out he would stay true the whole time. So mm-hmm. It was a really positive thing for me to see in high school. We saw it in art. Mm-hmm. We watched it in our art class. So it was really good, and it kind of gave me a really positive outlook on marriage in a hard time. So
yeah, that's good.
A couple that stands out for me from the classic Lord of the Rings trilogy, I'm thinking of Aragorn and Arwen. Aragorn, who used to be this, he was a strider. He was this independent person who would do good on behalf of those who couldn't take care of themselves in dire straits. And then you have Arwen, who's this daughter of an elvish king. They have totally separate lives, totally different trajectories. But what I appreciate about their love, the movie kind of, I don't really enjoy how the movie's portray Arwen in particular. She's just sort of breathy and longing and just sort of awkward. I don't really enjoy that particular aspect. But what I love is that it's more than just these, oh, she's an elf and a mortal and she's giving up all this to be with this man. What dramatic love. That's not the most interesting part to me. For me, it's he's willing to take up a mantle of responsibility after a life of solitude, doing something that he loved and wanted to do, and he had to give that up for this, for something that he loved, for a person he loves, but also taking on this huge mantle of responsibility as the king of the kingdom of humanity, of men. But then Arwen seems like she's taking a huge step down and he's taking a huge step up, but really what she's doing is demonstrating unity in a world of racial conflict. Mm-hmm. You have elves fighting dwarves, and you have really good examples of people like Legolas, who's an elf, befriending a dwarf, and their relationship is really cool as a friendship. Mm-hmm. But what Arwen and Aragorn is demonstrating is, after this time of conflict and everyone fending for themselves, now we actually have a united kingdom protecting and looking out for each other, and not just looking out for their own interests. So it's more what they represent than their own individual relationship, which you don't honestly see that much of.
Yeah. So almost as epic is the movie Couples Retreat, which I'm always the one that throws out, like, whenever people are like, you know, most epic films of all time, and I'm like, Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Anyway.
Good movie.
That's a good demonstration of love.
Of a couple. I know. He, like, totally ran across the border for her. Anywho. But Couples Retreat is one of those movies that is very problematic in many ways, but by the end of that movie, every one of those married couples has stayed together despite train wreck relationship issues. And they go. And I was surprised when I saw that movie, not only how the couples came to an understanding of one another, were willing to go through therapy together, were willing to break down a lot of their own issues, but also how even some of the marriage therapy and advice that was portrayed was actually somewhat legit from coming from a totally non-Christian perspective, and the whole idea of self-sacrifice and cooperation and whatever. And of course it's like set in Bora Bora or something, so that makes it especially awesome. But I just thought, like, and you know, Vince Vaughn is one of the characters who, he has been in some pretty horrible movies, but he's kind of that everyman who's just like the guy who loves his wife but does no great job of communicating it ever, and he has to learn how to show his appreciation of and love for her. And I just think it's a fun movie for that reason. But okay, what about, like, what would you say, you know, we talked about some that are more current, some that are more classic, what about just well either couples that we see, whether in the news or current people that are kind of doing marriage right now, or people, real life people that you actually have contact with every day. What, you know, who do you see out there that you're like, they've got some really good stuff going on and I could learn some stuff from them?
Yeah, I think for me, it would be my sister and her husband, Paige and Ryan. They've been married for a whole 6 months. but even when they just started dating, it was so clear that together they were just going to be this huge force for the kingdom of God. And so not only that, but just when you're around them, you can just see the best parts of them in each other. Mm-hmm. And so knowing my sister for, you know, my whole life, and then all of a sudden this guy comes around, I was obviously a little bit like, okay, like, what's going on here? But seeing how he brought her closer to Christ and just really just like brought the life out of her, that just made me like love him and love her so much. And then what I think they do really well is it can be easy to, as a couple, like isolate yourself from the people around you, whether it be, you know, your family or your other single friends or even other couples. And I think they're very intentional about continuing to reach out even while they're first discovering, you know, what it looks like to be married. Like, for instance, like I'm here in Colorado Springs for the summer, and they were missing me. So they sent me a potato in the mail that said, "We miss you," with our faces on it, which is really random and like weird. But it was just really nice of them and thoughtful. Just know that they still think about me and pray for me. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
A young couple that I think of who they've also not been married for a very long time, but Matt and Steph, they've been on the show before, and I really appreciate how they communicate. Like, they communicate with each other better than my parents do, and a lot of couples that I know of. And they've gone through some struggles, some frustrations that they've had to deal with as a couple preparing for marriage or as they were dating. And I just hear stories from Matt or from Steph about disagreements that they've had and how they've handled that conflict. And I think, wow, I think I would be a different person if more people in my life had handled conflict the way that these people who are younger than me are handling conflict. And I honestly look up to them for that.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just out a couple weeks ago at Focus on the Family's Hope Restored in Branson, Missouri, which basically takes couples who are on the verge of divorce, and some of them have even filed papers already, and got to sit through an entire week of therapy with five couples. And it was just amazing, the transformation. Mm-hmm. But what made it, I think, such an impact on them was the therapist, who's one of Focus's therapists, his name is Bob Paul, shared so many stories from his own marriage, and his wife, of course, had given him permission. And it was like there were some major mess ups that both of them had. And to just be like, I'm a therapist and I'm still a sinful person who is selfish, who is like, you know, he was like, I'm a codependent and I'm all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And just for them to see that and be like, oh my word, if that's you, then there's hope for me. Yeah. And there's hope for personal growth, and it's not too late. And so it's just great when couples can get in the space to share their own story and be willing to do that transparently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love when couples are vulnerable, you know, because nobody, if there's like a picture perfect couple, that just isn't really relatable or attainable. And so when a couple's like, yeah, this is what we're going through, but, you know, relating it to the gospel, like, you know, but this is who God is, that just makes it so much better and so much more of something that we can look to and strive for ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, and kind of going around those lines, I kind of liked, and this is another fictional couple, but that's kind of why I liked, I've binge watched The Office. I'm going on my fourth time now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need to talk about
it? I think I need a life.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
That's
how
another
to
round
get
table.
One of those.
Yeah, okay.
But Jim Halpert and Pam in the show, at first it kind of seems like it's going the classic, perfect couple route. Mm-hmm. And it is for a little bit. Mm-hmm. They have great story and all that. But then things kind of get hard towards the end, and you kind of see them work through those things. So kind of seeing the struggles of what can happen even to those couples that you go, oh man, they were the dream couple in high school and all that kind of stuff, and they got me, like, those types of things that we kind of, as outsiders, we fantasize those certain things, but seeing the real struggle and seeing that they work through those is the really that's the, I guess that's what touches me the most, is the fact that we can see them work through those things, that means a lot.
Well, and even to that point, there were some of our insiders who listed even current, whether celebrity couples or other people who are kind of well-known, who even in the spotlight seem to be doing some things well. Like Erica mentioned Steph and Aisha Curry. Mm-hmm. Several people mentioned Chip and Joanna Gaines. But I kind of want to say, like, if you're living in an awesome modern farmhouse setup that's, like, decluttered, I think you have a better chance at a good marriage. But that's just a side note for me. And then a few people also mentioned Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, just because whenever they're interviewed, they're just very, in fact, one person said they speak so highly of each other and support each other. They joke around a lot and aren't afraid to be silly, which is a fun thing to see, I think, in couples as well. So thinking of some of these couples or other couples, fictional or not, what are some things that you see recurring, whether in shows or in commonplace things that you would not want to emulate? Like some of the things that are kind of almost lifted up as like, here's what not to do either. And it's usually used for comedic purposes or, you know, or for other things, which is kind of funny because actually a few people, I don't know who these Boundless listeners are, but are they super old or what? But a few people mentioned like Home Improvement, like back from, you know, like the Taylors and stuff and how he was kind of that like, but I mean, again, there was a sweetness to their relationship, even though there were lots of like missteps and there was tons of like weird chauvinistic stuff and whatever. And then people had mentioned too, like the, from the Cosby Show, you know, like the Huxtables and stuff. So another kind of iconic couple, but not everyone does it well. So what would you say are some of the things to not emulate?
Well, there's one that just comes to mind. And while I was trying to think through these questions, I go, man, I keep thinking of the ones that I wouldn't want to be and not the ones I would want to be. So, one of the biggest ones that came to mind, it was my favorite cartoon. I was a really weird kid. I'm going to say that right now. Was Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Are you kidding me?
That was one of
I was a weird kid too then. High five across
high
the table.
High five across the table.
Okay, so was this a dog couple or what was going on here with these people?
No.
Don't want to emulate that. Let's start off with that.
They were, it was an elderly couple that lived in a house in the middle of nowhere and they owned a dog called Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Okay.
It's kind of all from the perspective of the dog, like the entire show. But the husband is a little bit abusive to the dog, and he doesn't really care about anything. He just sits in his chair all day, and he's kind of rude. Anytime excited about something, he kind of shoots her down. Mm-hmm. Anytime the dog's freaking out, he scares the dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, kind of like, I guess I wouldn't want to emulate being the guy who just sits around doing nothing all day and just
dogs.
Being rude.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Probably a good life lesson right there.
Like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
I think just straight up disrespect. Mm-hmm. Whenever, you know, you see a couple where, whether it's in public or even just like speaking one-on-one, that is just going to, whether it's, you know, really overt or a little bit hidden, just disrespects their significant other.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just so unattractive.
Yeah.
And you just have to be kind. I mean, that is like, that's your person. That's who you committed your life to. You love that person. Why would you ever want anybody to think anything but like the most of the person that you love?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think mutual respect is so important. And if it's not there between each other, then it's definitely not going to be there when you're talking about the person with other people.
Yeah. And I think that makes me think, Ashley, so much of, and I can say this, I think as a female, like what I can't stand is when women, whether in shows or in real life or whatever, are constantly correcting their husbands or like treating them like, I mean, when a woman says, oh yeah, you know, I have four kids, you know, three are under 12 and one is you know, 35, or when, you know, and they say their husband is one of the kids, or they're just very demeaning and stuff like that, just is like nails on a chalkboard for me. It's just not helpful. But conversely, when you see couples constantly building one another up in front of other people and speaking well of them, I think that just pours into that other person immeasurably.
Yeah. And like as the woman in the relationship, like you want your husband or, you know, your boyfriend to be the man that like God has created them to be.
Yeah.
And by acting like their mom in a way or just belittling them, that is not going to do any good.
Right.
So, encouragement is so big.
Yeah. No momming required. They already have a mom.
right? Micromanagement as a yeah. theme, either direction. I've seen right. it real life, mm-hmm. tons of characters and TV shows, movies, books, whatever. I think a show that depicts every possible kind of dysfunctional relationship is Stranger Things.
Oh,
I've okay. been watching season 3. This is spoiler free, but you can tell this from the last season.
Yeah.
Every relationship is either micromanaging the other person, or they're really young, so they have no idea who the other person even is or how to relate to them, or the older couples are just really fed up with each other. Like every single couple I can think of, especially since season 3, and you can get this from the trailer, the theme is relationships, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single relationship is really bad.
Yeah.
And
maybe
just
not enough people
those.
Knew about therapy in the 80s. That's
you know,
I'm kind of like wondering. They were just all left to their own devices, so they were just crazy. I don't know.
Which makes me grateful today for the kinds of resources that we have.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about couples like Matt and Steph mm-hmm. mentioned earlier who have had access
Matt
to great...
Matt Demerit, he means, who has been on our roundtable
all right.
many times.
Fully called out. I was going to yeah. leave his last name anonymous at least.
Just got
we
out.
Know you, Matt. Hey, hi. Sounds like marriage is going well. So, yeah. No, that's awesome.
I didn't even think about Stranger Things. Like, and now that you're bringing that to my attention, I also I binge-watched the entire season.
No spoilers,
in
please.
One day.
I'm only halfway through.
No spoilers. No spoilers, but... Like, even looking back on the second season, like, you can see sort of the dysfunctionality mm-hmm. starting to build.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an I didn't even think about that. So that's an interesting view.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny because, okay, so not a TV show, but movies, like, just the whole Disney scene. Like, this just made me think of it because, of course, you know, Lion King is, you know, the new one's out and all this stuff. And just, I'm getting a little bit more fatigued of, like, Disney couples. And because it used to be the super lame, like, damsel in distress, and then the guy was some, like, awkwardly amazing guy who could do no wrong. But now it's almost like it's flipped the exact opposite, where it's some She-Ra princess of power, and then the guy is just kind of like an accessory kind of thing. And I'm like, can we not get middle ground on these? Because I'm getting very weary of watching these, you know, whether they are animal couples or, yeah. you know, people or whatever. It's just kind of, again, an overblown, I think, portrayal of, you know, weird, I don't know, just yeah. some kind of stereotype.
Well, it's almost like when they did the reenactments. I don't know what you would call them, the live action films.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like they're kind of going back on what they said before. So it's almost like they're redoing the story itself. So
right.
it's a little different.
Good point. Yeah. So, well, we want to get you in on the action. So we have put together a list. It is not scientific, so don't yell at us, of what we felt were some of the top responses or a good representation of favorite couples. So vote for the ones that you think are your favorites. And of course, we always have the comments if you feel you need to weigh in and offer some new suggestions as well. So go to boundless.org, click on the blog. You will see the blog post and weigh in with that. So thanks, you guys, for being part of this.
Thanks for having us.
Lisa.
Thank you.